Call your attention tonight to the first chapter of John, the first five verses of the first chapter of John. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I know as well as you that the days I have left in this world are many fewer than the ones I've been here. But whatever days I have, I want to live all my life. I want to live all of my life. I don't want to just exist. I don't want to just get by. I don't want to do what most of you are always doing. You're hanging in there. I don't want to do that. I don't want to just hang in there. I want to live. I want to live each day so that when I get up in the morning, I can look out and face the day and stand on the tiptoe of expectancy, wondering what God has in store for me today. I want to live. I want to live all my life. I want to live a life that has meaning. A life that has purpose. A life that knows joy, but to be life, it also knows sorrow. A life that knows laughter, and a life that knows tears. I want to live an abundant life. All of my life. All of my life. Where can you go to find the resources for such a life? I believe I've found the answer. I believe I have. The Gospel of John begins and ends with life. At the beginning, John wrote in the fourth verse that I read, speaking of Jesus, in Him was life. And in chapter 20, verse 31, as he's bringing the Gospel to a close, John wrote, "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." And this gospel, the word life is continually on the lips of Jesus. In chapter 5, verse 40, it's the wistful regret of Jesus that men will not come to Him that they may have life. It's Jesus' claim in 10:10 that He came that people might have life and have it abundantly. He claims in 10:28 that He gives people life and they will never perish, for no one can pluck them out of His hand. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am life." In John's Gospel, the word life occurs more than 35 times. And the verb to live or to have life occurs more than 15 times. It seems to me if we want to have life, we have to have that life, find it, if you would, in a relationship with Jesus Christ, who is life. Think with me for a little while tonight about the fact that anything and everything outside of Christ brings death. And everything in Him brings life. And then consider quickly how we can have the life that Jesus offers. First, all things outside of Christ bring death. All things outside of Christ bring death. And this is surely true of people. Put whatever that you will outside of Christ. It matters not how good it may be of itself. Put it outside of Christ. And it will bring death. We live in a world that's so very dependent on an automobile. I grew up in a world where we weren't so dependent on automobiles. I was interested a couple of years ago down at Auburn. They declared that the campus was a walking campus and you could not bring your car on the campus when school was in session. That's the way it was when I was there. But nobody had a car to get on campus with. But we'd be hard-pressed to live without our automobiles. They are so designed that with care they can take us to whatever destination that we wish to go. They'll take us there with safety. They'll take us there with comfort. But let man in his basic selfishness and greed and sin take over the automobile and drive carelessly, recklessly, as if he were the only one out there, or drive under the influence of drugs and alcohol, and thousands of deaths are caused in this country every year, and half of them by people under the influence of alcohol. Take the car outside of Christ. It brings death. True of everything that we can make. Planes, ships, all other kinds of inventions outside of Christ are used to maim and kill and destroy. Brain power outside of Christ is used to build more and more destructive weapons of death. Political power outside of Christ is used to dictate and to oppress people and hold them down and rob the public treasure and so forth. Outside of Christ. Monetary power outside of Christ leaves the person with money believing that they are better than others. That others should be their servants. And not only that, they use their money to bribe and corrupt other people as well. All kinds of power outside of Christ brings death. And as odd as it may seem, even love outside of Christ brings death. Love can easily be turned into lust, jealousy, if it's not centered in Christ. Many's a young couple desperately in love who've taken their love outside of Christ as it turned into lust and have brought sorrow to themselves, to their families, and to their children. Outside of Christ, even love brings death. Have a preacher friend that said he had a man one day talking with him, telling him how much he loved his wife, how much he loved his children, how much he loved his mistress. Even love outside of Christ brings death. Another preacher I heard one time preaching, he said that he had this couple in his church that he had married them himself. He married them. They were so very much in love. He pronounced them husband and wife together in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and said, whatever God has joined together, let no one put asunder. God was included in the words of the ceremony, but God was never included in the marriage. They loved each other, but they just left God out of things. And one day, in a fit of jealousy, the wife shot and killed her husband. The authorities allowed her to attend the funeral for her husband, and she was the chief mourner there. There was no question, no doubt that she loved her husband. But outside of Christ, death, only death. And even religion, outside of Christ, brings death and destruction. Some of the saddest pages of history you will ever study is about people who, in the name of Christ, live corrupt and destructive lives. Always remember, in history course, my first year in seminary, the professor always started the class with a prayer. And one day when we were studying a particularly difficult period of church history, he got up and started his prayer apologizing to God for even having to look at this page of history. So much a so-called Christian fighting Christian, Catholic fighting Protestant, Protestant-fighting Christian. And this is true not only of Christianity, but it's true of all other religions. When the dark, dark days that we all remember, 9/11, and it was in the name of religion, in the name of their gods, the men took over the aircraft and flew them into the Twin Towers, into the Pentagon. All in the name of religion. On a very much smaller scale, Ida Scudder told of an experience in India where three women were allowed to die. They were in the pains of childbirth and they needed help, but their husbands allowed them to die rather than to allow a male doctor to attend to their needs. Two of the men were Hindu, one was a Muslim. But outside of Christ and the control of His love, even religion brings death. But in Christ, all things come alive. They're life-giving, life-bringing, life-releasing. Place man inside of Christ. Let him be controlled, kept, directed by Christ's love. And then everything he touches brings life. Mechanical power in whatever form now becomes life-giving. The automobile is used to take us safely where we need to go or to carry supplies where we need them carried or to carry us in emergency situations to the hospital, whatever. All of the power that's there in mechanical power is used to enrich life. The plane no longer is a bummer, but it's a passenger ship or a hospital plane carrying people where they need to go. The warship becomes a passenger ship, a hospital ship, a cargo vessel, bringing hope and life to persons in need. Brain power is used to seek and bring about cures for man's illnesses and other problems. It discovers how to harness atomic power for useful purposes rather than destructive purposes. To harness the wind, to harness the sun, to bring life and light into a darkened world. Political power in Christ is used to help the poor, the weak, the downtrodden, those unable to help themselves. Money power in Christ is used to bring help and hope and happiness to people. All forms of power used by man brings life when it's controlled by the love of Christ. And of course, religious conviction and love brings life in Christ. I mentioned Ida Scudder seeing the three women die for lack of doctor's care. She was a young woman. She struggled with what she could do to change things. She came back to the States and studied and became a doctor and went back to India to minister to women where male doctors could not. She built a great hospital, a school, and established roadside eye camps where the blind could receive help. Religious conviction and love bring life in Christ. And as it may seem, even death inside of Christ brings life. There's Dr. E. Stanley Jones, one of our great missionaries to India, who illustrates this with the following stories. He said death got into a missionary home in Fuzhou, China. A father and a mother were killed in the vegetation riots. Their four children escaped alive, met together, and decided on their revenge. What could they do to avenge the death of their parents? And they decided they would come back to the States and get the best education possible and go back to China and serve those who'd killed their parents. They did. Death didn't separate them from the love of Christ. In Christ, death became life, a life of dedicated service. Alongside the two graves of their parents was another grave. It was a grave of only daughter of a widow from Australia. This daughter was killed in the same riots. The mother said, "I do not have another daughter to give. I'll go myself." And at 62 years of age, she sold everything she had and went to China and set up a school. And for 20 years, she gave herself serving the people who killed her daughter. Love. The love of Christ got inside of death and brought life. Death got into a German missionary home and became life, unwittingly so. In India, it took the life of an only daughter with leprosy. And the grieving parents said, "Now that death has taken our daughter through leprosy, we'll give our lives to see what we can do to help others." They set up the greatest leper home in the world. Death became life. Life in a real sense to their daughter, life to the parents, life to thousands of lepers. Life. Paul cried out, "O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is your sting?" And when we place that death inside of Christ, there is no victory on death's part and no sting. There's life. There's life. Death, getting into the love of Jesus, is transformed into life. Think of what you will. Place it inside of Christ. It becomes alive. In Him, it's life. And very quickly, how do we enter into this life in Christ? I don't think it's complicated. I think it's very simple. We come to trust Jesus for time and for eternity. And we live in obedience to Him. We trust Him. We trust Him. Convinced that Jesus truly is the Son of God, we surrender our wills to Him in absolute surrender and trust. And we obey Him. We accept His commandments as absolutely binding, believing without question that what He says is true. And act on the conviction that we cannot do anything else then take Him at His word. No questions, Father. No questions. Only amens. Seeking always to live in trust, in obedience to Him. And may I say that when we learn to trust Him and obey Him, we stop existing. We begin living. For everything placed in Him lives. We know what life is with a capital L when we're living our life in Christ. In Christ, we're a new creation. Old things are passed away. Everything has become new. Everything placed in Him lives. Jesus said, "I am life." Believe Him. Trust Him. Obey Him. No life. No life. Lord Jesus, we thank You that we can truly know life in You. Help us by Your grace to be all that You would have us to be. And it's in Your holy name that we pray. Amen.